The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
That's 770-KMED.
All right. Actually, let's hold the calls here for a little bit. Captain Bill's going to join me after news here in just a moment in the Kim Komando digital update. But we'll have some open phones, probably that last half-hour segment between 8:30 and 9, all right? And maybe some interesting things we can talk about if you think that it's a good idea for the ACLU to sue Medford Police over paying attention to news and social media posts that they put out there for everybody to see. That just astounds me. I think the idea that you would just keep track of what someone's saying and where they might be going to protest and where police might be needed to make sure that things are peaceful, to me that just sounds like good, smart policing. But maybe you feel differently about that. We can certainly do this. A couple of political news here, stories that kind of got lost in the shuffle. Matt Gaetz ended up beating the McCarthy-backed challenger yesterday in the Florida primary. Yeah, and this may apparently be the end of the effort to punish Republicans who voted to get rid of Speaker McCarthy last year. But Matt Gaetz ended up beating primary challenge backed by the allies of McCarthy. Voters in Florida reportedly overwhelmingly backed Matt Gaetz against the primary challenger, Navy veteran Aaron Dimock. Okay, so we got that. Another interesting wrinkle in politics, and you mentioned this on my social media yesterday. Lars was talking about it a bit, too. RFK Jr. campaign is considering endorsing former President Trump's campaign, or, according to the his running mate, Shanahan, is it Shanahan? Let me just get that. Yeah, Shanahan, the vice presidential candidate with RFK. She was talking about this, they're thinking about forming a new party, possibly, but they didn't want to be a spoiler. And I think this is interesting because, yeah, there's a couple of things that RFK Jr. is relatively good on, the vaccine mandates and various other things. And a lot of the rest of it, yeah, not so good. Just an environmental lawyer. And so there's a lot in his makeup, but I'm sure he'd like to be a part of the cabinet of a Trump administration. That would be all fine. I just wouldn't want him in charge of energy policy. I wouldn't want him in charge of environmental policy, but maybe you get him in charge of HHS, maybe. I don't know. Politics can make strange bedfellows. You know, the enemy of my enemy could be my friend. I don't know. It's I know the conservative talkers are just like, oh, how can you trust him? It's like, I don't know. At this point in time, you need every vote that you can get. And if you can peel off a percent or two of people who normally are leaning Democrat, and you have RFK, who is looking at RFK Jr., looking at the Trump administration as the best of two questionable candidate, certainly the best when contrasted to Harris and Walz. Would you reject that out of hand? I wouldn't think so. It's not exactly like Trump is swimming in so much support that he doesn't need a Democrat or two to join the team. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later on. I'll look forward to that. 8:05. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hey, Francine. What are you thinking?
Well, in regards to the ACLU and the listening in on monitoring people's social media and so forth.
Yeah. In other words, it's out there for everybody else to look at, you know.
Right. This has been going on for a long time. I mean, it's been like over 20 years that I've been concerned about this sort of thing, you know, and I just finally give up. It's like, you know, they're going to look at everything you do. So what are you going to do? You can either keep your mouth shut.
Well, I would just say, though, if you volunteer, though, to put your stuff on a big CB radio online and you call it Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever else and Instagram, then don't be surprised that other people who you want to see it, other people can look at it, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a double-edged sword because there's a certain aspect or level of this where it's like the government is secretly spying on you. But, of course, we all know it's been going on forever, ever since, you know, we started going on the Internet.
Yeah, but if you're volunteering to put it out there.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, what if this is just a known quantity? Is that the right word? We know this goes on, and why should these people be any different? Have any special? They can look at everybody but them.
I understand. You know, that's what it is, because it's the stabbing wagon types, the pepper shakers, or whatever they call themselves. And generally speaking, if I were cops, I'd watch them too, because a lot of what they have advocated for is very disorderly conduct here. You know,
they push breaking the law. That's what they stand for. All kinds of things that break laws, and they're trying to change laws. They're just and they're against the cops. They're just they are not good citizens.
Point well taken. Appreciate the call there, Francine. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Go ahead. Hello?
This is Brian Weldon.
Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know around here, this Saturday, we're starting another Trump train rally. Speaking of politics, every Saturday, we're going to do our cruise around 6th, 7th Street and around town supporting Donald Trump.
Okay.
We're going to be meeting at the GOP office. Probably as the amount of cars get larger and larger, we'll probably move to some other location, but it'll be at 2:00 every Saturday.
All right, Brian, duly noted. Thanks for letting us know, okay? Be well. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News next.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The Democrats played their greatest hits last night at their national convention. We heard Talk of Hope, and we heard from the Obamas. The former president and former first lady took aim at Donald Trump while boosting Kamala Harris. Dozens of arrests outside the convention venue as anti-Israel protesters tussled with police. Former President Trump says America is ready for less crime in the streets and secure borders. Mr. Trump telling a rally in Howell, Michigan, that when he's back in the White House, the border will be secured and crime brought under control. Russian authorities claim to have successfully thwarted the largest Ukrainian drone attack on Moscow to date. 45 drones were shot down overnight, according to the Russians. Watching Wall Street this morning, the Dow is up 33 points, the Nasdaq trading 70 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Well, you know, it's Orlist, Tobin's Spas, we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Lamont here from Orlist. Has another winter left you hurting from high heating bills? If so, come into Orlist for a record-breaking 30% tax credit on qualifying wood and pellet stoves and their installation. Come in and check out the award-winning Jodl Oslo wood stove. Jodl, from the heart of Norway, has been leading the way in wood stove design and innovation for over 160 years. Add warmth, savings, and value to your home by buying a Jodl at Orly Stoves and Spas. Jodl understands the importance of focusing on the future when developing wood stove technology that will will last for generations. Yodel has developed industry-changing, highly efficient, clean-burning technologies that are incorporated in all of their wood stoves. Orleys has the largest selection in Southern Oregon with over 40 rebate qualifying models. Come into Orleys for a record-breaking 30% tax credit on qualifying wood and pellet stoves and their installation. Orleys at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, or visit us online at Orleys.com.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
For NBC 5 News, I'm Natalie Serna. Conditions for the Rogue Valley today, staying warm and dry, hitting a high of 86, dipping into 56 for our overnight low. Tomorrow's when that chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in. 60s by Friday, and then by next week, we're already in the 90s again.
Captain William E. Simpson joins me here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about wildfire horses in a bit more. We always like to catch up with the Wild Horse Fire Brigade. I'm trying to figure out which email list I ended up getting on to receive this email this morning. It's Psychic Medium Development Weekend, October 5th and 6th in Corona, California. Join Marissa, your guides in spirit, in Southern California. Okay, I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute. You need to advertise a Psychic Medium Development Weekend because if you're psychic, shouldn't we already know? I know it's an old joke. I love that. Yes, and we'll have people, you know, channeling of the spirits, I suppose, is where we go, all right? Hey, I want to get you to channel your inner cheapskate, okay? And it's really hard to channel your inner cheapskate when you're looking at the price of insurance soaring 15, 20, 25%, sometimes getting canceled. You need to talk with Steve Yancey. Steve Yancey is an independent insurance agent at Sky Park Insurance. Great firm. It's been helping a lot of folks here, big sponsors of my program here on KMED and KBXG. It helps so many people save money. And he's just one of those guys that, Steve, my insurance went up $600. $600 a year. Can you help me out with that? He went to work on it and ended up cutting my car insurance about $500-$600. That's real money. I'm able to put that to use somewhere else. Probably paying for the the license tab increase. I don't know. Whatever. But one way or another, it's great when you're working with someone who's looking out for you. Okay, call up Steve, and if he can get you a great quote, isn't that wonderful? If you already have a good deal, he'll let you know about that too. All right, 261-5444, 261-5444, skyparkins.com. Get a quote today from Sky Park.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9224.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Disney just can't seem to learn its lesson. First, it went woke. And while it didn't go broke, the number of park visitors dropped. Now Disney management has made the Disney Plus app a dangerous place for young children. I'm Kim Commando for NetSuite. Attention business owners, get a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program at netsuite.com/Kim. Parents really want to trust Disney. Why it's abusing that trust is beyond imagination, no pun intended. So how could Disney even think that adding Hulu shows and movies to Disney Plus would be a good idea? What was once a safe world for family-friendly movies is now degraded with PG-13 and R-rated titles. It's not sexual material yet. But remember that Handmaid's Tale is a Hulu product. So is Deadpool, Logan, Aliens, which they're promoting big time, along with American Horror Story and Shogun. You might not think that using a streaming app is being online, but But it is. If you don't monitor what the kids are watching, no one else will. Sign up for my free newsletter at GetKim.com. Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more money you keep. It's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, small businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Kim. That's netsuite.com/Kim. netsuite.com/Kim.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
17 after 8, Captain William E. Simpson, an ethologist. By the way, I've noticed that you call yourself an ethologist. What is an ethologist here, Captain Bill?
Well,
good to have you back on.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, one of the things we do is we study the ethology, which is the kind of the family tree, to put it more simply. It's, you know, the relationship, the social behavior, how the families interact with each other.
Oh, you're talking about for the wild horses that you're, you know, a big supporter
right.
of? Okay. Got it.
Right, yeah.
All right.
And then, the behavioral ecology, which is really what's really important. That's where the rubber meets the ground with wild horses and in fact, all horses. But wild horses are interesting because they have a lot of the primitive instincts still, and so they're able to actually deal with wildfires. You know, they know when to go and how to get away. And
that's how they end up surviving all these eons, I suppose. By the way, Wild Horse Fire Brigade is pretty simple to find online, wildhorsefirebrigade.org. And, of course, you've been a big supporter of this, and I appreciate that you coming on. And also keeping an eye on the smoke. Now, we're still in fire season, and we're not out of the woods here, no pun intended, yet. How are we looking at this point in time when it comes to fire smoke and more? What do you think?
Well, it's unfortunate that the state of Oregon is actually the champion so far this year with the most acres burned, over 1 million acres. California, which is almost twice as big, we're at, I think the last number I saw was 800 some thousand acres burned. But you guys are over 1 million. And you know, when you go around, even in Medford, I mean, I was in Medford last week, and the smoke was just, I mean, it triggered my sensitivity to smoke.
Oh, hey, I know it well. I know it well. In fact, I'm going to sneeze.
Yeah, so.
Pardon me for my sensitivity. All right.
Yeah,
but
so my cough came back. Yeah, my cough actually came back this season from just coming to Medford.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I was reading yesterday, I talked about a story in which studies out of the National Alzheimer's Association indicating that wildfire smoke is much more dangerous pollution for most people than other pollution, and they are connecting a pretty high risk of dementia, you know, long term over the exposure to that. And I think it's something worthy of talking about. And the fact the fact that Oregon is number one on, we're at a time in which herbivory, as you've talked about, the nature's lawnmowers have been somewhat restricted on the landscape, right? That kind of thing. You have that issue in play. You're not going to harvest any longer because that's not politically tenable, you know, the way that's looking. You know, all of the senators on the West Coast are not in favor of harvesting, and yet you're going to have fuel load continue to grow, right? I mean, this is these are recipes for disaster long term, are they not? Really?
What's really, really bad, Bill, is the herbivory for eons of time, millennia, had maintained the key fuels. That's the 1 hour lag fuels, the 1 hour class fuels.
You know, those are the big grasses, you know, the big fields of grass that just go up like gasoline when you see a lightning strike.
It's rocket
right?
fuel. It's rocket fuel. Everything a quarter inch in diameter and smaller is 1 hour class. And then you got 10-hour class and 100-hour class, and those are the bigger fuels that require kindling. Okay, so what I think people go, oh, well, Bill, if we just log, we could – no, wrong. See, what happens is we
– well, I mean, I don't think logging is the only thing, but I don't think you can't not log either. You know, let's be real.
Well, yeah, okay? let's break it down. Let's break it down.
All
because
right.
You just can't look at this in one big picture here. Okay, if we took every tree off the landscape in Oregon, then you would have massive grass and brush fires. As soon as you open the canopy, any logger knows this.
Right.
When you thin the canopy, the understory grows. That means grass and brush. Okay, so we're not going to eliminate fire by logging, not even close. In fact, it would be worse because grass and brush burn hotter and faster.
I don't know if I completely agree with you on that, because I see there's an awful lot of BLM land. In fact, I even have transmitter sites on BLM land, which is filled not just with grass, but with madrone, with all sorts of scrub oak, with all sorts of poison oak, and all the rest of this stuff. None of it gets mowed down. And, you know, I don't think you could do enough prescribed burns on all of those lands to take care of.
No, you can't. But I'm trying to keep this really simple, though, Bill. I mean, there's obviously a lot of different, you have successional forests that come from, you know, when you start out with grass, and let's say you do your planting, you know, then over time you end up with a forest in that area. But I'm just trying to break it down so the audience can understand. If we removed every tree, we would still have catastrophic fire. You look at the Marshall Fire in Colorado. That was a winter fire, December 31st, grass and brush only, not a forest fire. It destroyed over 200 buildings, the worst fire, worst structural loss ever in the history of Colorado.
Okay, now I'll give you on that. We would go back to, well, what would happen naturally even in the Midwest, in the Great Plains, when you didn't have a lot of trees, you'd have a lot of grass, though. Yeah. You had a lot of grass.
Yeah, we don't even have, we just look at recent history, Bill. We don't need to go very far. I mean, look at the Paradise, the campfire, look at, you know, grass and brush fire, look at Lahaina. You know, you look at these fires, the Sonoma fire, the this fire, there's dozens of them. I could go on and on.
Yeah, but isn't there a case that there has also been a push for anti-grazing of all sorts that doesn't necessarily help, though? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I was getting there. So here's the thing. The government currently is engaged in a reduction of the herbivory. Okay, here we are with the problem with grass and brush building up. It's stacked up everywhere, and it's getting worse and worse. And the government is engaged in reducing grazing everywhere and rounding up the horses everywhere. I mean, you know, you've got states that are burning to the ground, and what are they doing? They're taking off the lawnmowers so that there'll be even more grass and brush. And then, you know, they've got, like in Idaho, they're talking about rounding up the horses because all of their grass and brush burned. Well, the thing is the grass and brush burned because they've already reduced the herbivory so that they're ineffective. If you have 10,000 acres and you need to mow it and you have one lawnmower, you're not going to get it done. You know, the thing is you've got, it's like idiocracy running the land management here.
Oh, I'll go with you there. There's certainly a lot of that.
So
you bet.
What we need to do, now logging, I'm pro-logging. I'm pro-grazing by all kinds of herbivores. You use the right herbivore in the right area. But I'm pro-logging because the logging, it makes for a very healthy watershed. You know, the forest right now, you look at the monument, it is a wreck. The monument has been mismanaged ever since 2000, and you've got all these people that think they know something about it.
I would also add that isn't there a lot of the monument which has that issue, which is more prone to wildfire because you don't have healthy trees? You have lots of those toothpick trees that are just crammed together, and there's only so much water and resource that can go to feed these kind of trees. Isn't that case? Isn't that proper to think of it that way?
Yeah. It's just like any crop. If you have too many plants in your garden in one area, nobody's going to get enough light or fertilizer or water.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees are no different. You know, you've got to maintain the forest properly. And this hands off. You know, what's going to happen? If these people, like, you know, friends of the Soda Mountain Wilderness and friends of the Cascade Siskiyou Monument, which interestingly have people on their board that are associated with the actual BLM. So they kind of have an insider connection. The thing is they've mismanaged it for so long now. When Dave Larson and I went up there right before the Klamath on fire, he said, if the fire gets into this monument, we will not be able to stop it because there's so much fuel. And what are they doing? Now in the new in their new updated resource management plan, They want to eliminate all grazing completely so that the grass and brush just stacks up and just first source of ignition.
You know, that just sounds to me like you're just waiting for the next lightning strike then. Boom, right there into the grass and all the and all the brush. Wow, great.
Yeah, and, you know, when ashland burns to the ground, because that's what will happen if we get a south or east wind out of, and the monument's on fire, ashland will burn to the dirt. They won't be able to stop or protect ashland. And then they'll go, oh, so sorry, when everybody gets dead up there. I mean,
I wonder, though, if this is almost kind of like with the faulty agenda of dam removal, that this is the plan, that the plan is that we don't want you living around here in Southern Oregon or Northern California. I can't help but think that that's part of the plan because, well, you know, you're right. If that monument touches off, well, there's certainly no iron gate to dip in any longer to put it out like last time.
No, it's going to be worse than even like the Shelley fire we just had down here. You know, the monument is the worst fuel load I think I've ever seen. The place is a wreck up there, and it's just so mismanaged. And I took Elizabeth Burghardt and Lauren Brown, who's the monument manager, on a hike up there in October of 2019, and I pointed it out. And I also pointed out some big snags that had been lightning struck but didn't burn. The fire didn't carry to the other field because the horses had grazed down the grass on the ground. The fire stuck in that one spot.
Is anyone even willing to look at horses and goats and perhaps even moo? I know there's always been this big thing about no moo. What is it? No moo by 2032 or something? I forget what the rhyme was coming out of the gangrene.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is our organization has been fighting for grazing. And intelligent grazing means you use the right herbivore in the right location.
Right.
Okay, we've got plenty of places to put cows and sheep. You know, goats, the thing is there's, you know, goats don't have a big commercial marketability like cows and sheep. And I can understand, you know, you got to have jobs for people or you don't have taxes, you don't have any money. People can't support their families. So, you know, I'm talking about there's places where, if you've got sensitive flora, you don't want to, you know, drop a bunch of ruminants in there, okay? The horses are good there because they poop out the seeds and they grow. So you mow the lawn, you reseed it, everything's good.
So the sensitive places are actually better with the wild horse because of the way they reseed, right? They don't have the multiple stomachs that burn the seeds up like a cow would, right?
Right, yeah. The cows re-chew their food. See, they masticate their food. They burp up a cud and they re-chew it, so they crushed all the seeds. They're very effective digesters, and that's why an 800-pound cow and an 800-pound horse, the horse needs 20% more forage because they don't masticate very well, and so they don't chew good, and so the seeds come out and they grow. And so there's a way to do this, and then we couple that with good logging, and then we make that forest healthy again. We get up in there, open those roads back up that Joel Brum closed down. You know, back in, 5-6 years ago when he said we couldn't maintain 164 miles of road. And then he goes in and spends more money decommissioning them than it would have cost to maintain them for another 10 years. It's ridiculous. So, you know, what we need to do is we need to open that back up, clean those roads up, get up in there, and then with the good roads and some selective logging and things, then we could get in there and do some thinning and then make that forest really healthy again.
Let me ask you here, Captain Bill, in your opinion, like I said, you're not an anti-logging guy, and I don't think that logging is just a cure-all for everything, too. Problem is that there's not a lot of the economic model for logging has collapsed, and yet you couldn't do enough prescribed burning on millions and millions of acres in order to take care of the problem of the fuel load that we have at this point. Is there any support, in your opinion, for fiber as in biomass plant potential, or is that just too expensive to log for biomass and then transport it? I don't know. I mean, I'm spitballing with you on this one.
Yeah. There's really nothing you can do at scale that makes sense other than reestablishing the herbivory to manage these fuels. I mean, you can dabble in a few things here and there, but at scale, no. And in fact, most of the resource management plans now say that prescribed burning is ill-advised, even in the monuments. Their brand new updated ones say it's ill-advised, unless you do pre-treatment, which means you got to go in there
and log it.
God knows how you. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to mechanically remove it. Yeah. You know, you end up dropping a drip torch into land, which hasn't had any kind of cleanup for 40, 50 years since spotted owl time. You're in trouble, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they talk about it. They know it damages your soil. So nothing grows again. It's so hot. The fire is so hot. It kills your fire evolved conifers. It just wipes everything out. You can't burn anymore. It's not feasible. So we've got to do a much better job. We can do a better job. And that's the thing. That's what's frustrating. We have the ability right now to do a much better job to manage our monument and other landscapes with a combined effort of using reestablishing a quality herbivory and reestablishing intent. You know, we can do logging better than we did it 20 years ago. Today, I mean, you can do a high lead show where you don't even touch the ground. I mean, you can get logs out of an area and you can't even hardly tell you are in there. And then, you know, you could do high lead. You could do what they do in the Scandinavian forest. You could do horse logging, which in 2 weeks you can't even tell you've been there. I mean, and they've done that in Oregon. The Oregon Field Guide had a whole show about families that did horse logging in Oregon very successfully. And so there's ways to do it. But we've got to get people to stop being so damn stubborn and start moving toward an intelligent model for managing our landscape, because the smoke is killing everybody. All these people that are sitting back right now, some of these politicians, they go, oh, you know, we've heard this bill, you know.
Well, look at what they're trying to do. You know, Merkley and all these other people are talking about, well, we've invested in smoke shelters. That's not helping the problem. You're putting a Band-Aid on it, right?
it's stupid. And the thing is Merkley, you know, he can keep breathing because he's dying too. The UCLA study says if you're breathing any of this smoke, it will free everybody. You will have a premature death. That's the bottom line. Hmm. Smoke puts you in your grave early. And nobody's exempt. These elitists, doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, whoever you are, you know, you think you're going to get away with it. No, you're not.
And all right.
UCLA study says.
Yeah, before we take off here, Captain Bill, and I always appreciate the talk, even though I'm spitballing with you a bit today, and I appreciate you, letting me, you know, ask you those kind of questions. But are we in a situation, though, that it's going to take political will at the federal level to get the boot off of managing these forest lands? Because there is no support in any of the senators, especially, that I'm aware of, for any kind of real treatment that's not just putting a Band-Aid on things. What are your thoughts on that before we go?
Well, we probably have to have a change at the top. You know, I think Deb Haaland doesn't know what she's doing. She's just going along to get her agenda accomplished for tribal people. You know, that's fine. But you have to be smart because, you know, if you don't manage these resources correctly, we all suffer, everybody. Now, what's happening with the dams down here? You know, the tribes, they're going to be the big losers on this deal.
By the way, are the tribes, in your opinion, you talk with these tribal interests a lot, are they having any buyer's remorse yet over what has been done to that river, that whole community?
Yeah, but the thing is that the lower-ranking people, you know, the tribal council and above, you know, they're controlling the narrative to the public through KRRC, American Rivers. But the average, you know, tribal member, their voices are not truly being heard. And, in fact, they're told not to talk because they see what's going on.
It's kind of like the DNC then, right? You know, you're talking about, we have to have these presidential candidates because we're out here supporting democracy. But wait a minute, we don't have anybody voting on it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's like all these government fiefdoms. If you know, it doesn't matter if you're Cal Fire, U.S. Forest or whatever. If you talk out of school, you're going to find yourself like, you know, with some duty that you don't really appreciate. You know, basically, you've got to go along to get along. So what's happening right now is they're cutting through the last little bit of Iron Gate Dam. They're down at the bottom, the clay core and the coffer dam.
Right.
And Jay Martin took some outstanding video with his drone. He flew right over the top of it and looked down at that Siskiyou.news. And you can go look at what's going on. The river is permeating the clay. And it's going into the river now. And that's not supposed to happen. That wasn't supposed to happen. So they were supposed to make sure that that water bypassed all that, but it's going right through the center of it. And you've got this opaque brown clay that's entering, and it's the river looks like crap right now. And the thing is, okay, the Chinook come into the river in July. Okay, here we are at almost the end of August. What do you think that clay is doing to those fish? It sticks to their gills. You know, it's a microscopic particle. And then it impacts, and it fills in all the places, the spaces in the gravel, they call those res, where the salmon eggs have got to go. They're all filled in. That whole river is coated with crap. So if they
so it sounds to me like what you're saying, Captain Simpson, is that there is not going to be any restoration of the fish runs or the salmon runs probably within our lifetime.
Well, it's hard to say. What I would say is this, okay? The only way to clean up that mess is to have a big flood again, you know, where it just scours the bottom of the river down to the rock.
Oh.
Well, guess what's going to happen if that happens? The other two-thirds of the toxic sediment up here, and it is toxic, according to C.D.M. Smith. You know, Mark Branson will tell you that it's not toxic. He's full of crap. If you look at the C.D.M. Smith study, it's full of toxins, and they're all bioaccumulative, which means they build up over time. Low dose builds up. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So if we get a big flood, the kind that we need to clean the river up, it's going to carry all the rest of that down, and it'll kill the whole river again.
Yeah, and by the way, a big flood, goodbye to Happy Camp, too, right?
Right. Well, we don't have the dams. We had a four-hour holdback, I think it was, where we could actually, you know, the crest of the flood the coming down, we could hold it back and mitigate some of the damage, and now we don't even have that ability. But the tribes, I feel bad for those guys because they got sold a bill of goods again. They got the beads and the blankets for all their land, and they're going to wake up and realize, hey, we got screwed here. So it's unfortunate. It really is because, you know, they've had a rough go. I get it.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, it's not easy anywhere. Okay. It's not easy anywhere. But the thing is when you buy into a myth like this, that you're going to have more salmon you've ever seen, boy, I'll tell you what, they're in for a huge disappointment because they're going to have less salmon than they've ever seen.
And by the way, where is that cool water coming from in the summertime when you blow all your dams out to be able to keep a nice flow going? Right.
Maybe they'll drag an iceberg down from the Yukon and park it at the headwaters of the Klamath.
Maybe so. Hey, I appreciate the take as always, but I really do think that I like the fact that you're in favor of actually reestablishing grazing. And I know that that cuts against a lot of agendas, though, as you well know, because there will be talking about climate change and all the rest of it. But I have to tell you, burning the forest isn't really great for the climate either, is it?
Well, Copernicus, everybody wants to go to Copernicus Labs. I mean, Atmospheric Services, I mean, they look at all this stuff. They've already made a statement about this last year. They said that right now, the wildfires that we're seeing are putting more climate-changing carbon greenhouse gases into the atmosphere than all the fossil fuels being burned for power generation on the planet. So what do we do? Do we tolerate a little bit of exhaust gas from some animals, or do we, which is not even a drop in the bucket compared to what Copernicus Atmospheric Science is talking about with regard to the fire, the toxins going to the sky from the fire, and the human impact. I mean, you know, let's face it, cow farts aren't killing people. Nobody's dropping dead from cow farts, okay? But the smoke, 5,000 people a year are dying prematurely in California from smoke.
Yeah, and that's real. We know people. Well, I know that your wife passed away during the Klamathon fires of, was that Klamathon that she was most affected by back at that time, a couple years ago?
Your late wife? And it's insidious the way it kills you, too, because you just don't drop dead. See, people don't understand this. I talked to all the experts pretty much on the planet about it. It kills you slowly. It impacts your body. You start developing all kinds of different conditions, and it's different in each person.
Yeah, some people are looking at inflammatory issues. Other people are looking at lung problems, right? That's kind of where we're getting, right? That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
And a lot of people don't know this. Smoke killed Merv George's dad. You know, Merv George was the forester up here at Six Rivers, and then he went down there where Corp Boyce is in the Rogue River Forest. And his dad died. He was the chief down there, but he died from smoke.
Mm.
And people don't talk about these things, but there's no box to check. That's the other thing that shocked me is that the Oregon medical examiner, when I talked to him, because it said natural causes on my wife's death certificate. And I go, hold it, that wasn't natural. That was, and they said, well, we don't have a box to check for what killed her. And I go, you got to be kidding me. So if I'm a journalist and I'm trying to figure out what's killing people and I go to Vital Statistics Records in Oregon, I can't find the data because you don't have a box. So they actually they took back the original death certificate, issued a brand new one after they read her chart, and they put, you know, it was a neurological issue created from the smoke. And that was back in 2019 before the UCLA study that just came out a couple months ago that actually confirms that the smoke is killing people prematurely at an incredible rate, 55,000 people dead over in California alone over a 10-year period. Now, how many people are dead in Oregon? Nobody's doing the math up there.
And nobody seems to be really interested in it either. And on that note, I appreciate your take as always, and we'll definitely have you back, Captain Bill. And once again, wildhorsefirebrigade.org, and we'll put up those articles that you were mentioning too. Oregon, number one in wildfire acreage this year. Yay. Number 45 in education here, Bill, but number one in wildfire acreage. I guess, wow, you got to be number one in something, okay?
Well, hey, and in closing, I just want to tell everybody, we have a new documentary that's coming out. Filmmaker Audie Carlisle just finished a one-year effort to create a documentary called Horse of Nature, and, you know, talks about the herbivore. He talks about people that suffered fire.
And where do you get a chance to see that? How do you see it there?
It's up, actually. The trailer is up at Siskiyou.news, Siskiyou.news. And or you can just, you know, Google, you know, Wild Horse Fire Brigade and find it on our website. But it's going into Sundance Film Festival for judging right now. It's on its way. So
that, very cool. Hey, we appreciate the talk as always, and we'll have you back. All right. You take care.
Thank you.
Captain William E. Simpson. It is 8:43 at KMED. This portion of the program is sponsored by Valley View Nursery. And Valley View Nursery, of course, is the only nursery here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. You can go to valleyviewnursery.com and check that out. And Valley View Nursery is, well, closer than you think.
Mm-mm, good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Specials. Now is the time to indulge in a delicious affogato. Two perfectly pulled shots of espresso poured over creamy vanilla ice cream. For an extra treat, add chocolate and whipped cream to make it an affogato sundae. Come on by Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1325 Center Drive, just across from South Fred Meyer. Indoor and outdoor seating available. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRentcher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rentcher Garage, we are united through service.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Okay, we'll grab a few open phones here. You got Joel up on the Iron Gate. Joel, you were talking about Joel Skousen. He's a guy I respect. I guess he is on the ballot in some states for president, right? Hello, Joel? Okay, we lost him again. Let me go to Wild Salmon. You know, I think we need a new phone company up there by the Iron Gate. Nobody can get a cell phone call out of there. But anyway, Wild Salmon Steve, how are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing okay. I'm just scratching my head about how people can be so nuts. And I ran across a book by Jonathan Turley called The Indispensable Right, Free Speech in the Age of Rage. And he goes over the history of free speech and how it always seems to be that people in power want to control what people can hear. Mm-hmm. And they even control the language. A perfect example of that is old growth forest. We want to save the old growth forest. Well, the old growth forest is made up of what? Old trees. And what happens to old trees? They die. So how do you save a forest of dying trees? And that's an example of something that speech is used, the lexicon, the language is used to steer people in a specific direction.
Well, let's even take what's another favorite lexicon of the left right now, gender-affirming care. In other words, this is designed that we just take people who just a few years ago were considered mentally ill and were in need of treatment in many cases, especially when you have an 8-year-old that comes out there and says, you don't want gender-affirming care, but then somehow we're supposed to enable the mental illness rather than treating the mental illness and the confusion that might be there, right?
And this goes back into history. The monarchies have always done that. In fact, England is suffering from maniacal control now. They're trying to control the language. And
isn't there a case to be made that the monarchy has just been replaced by the administrative state?
Absolutely. I would say that people who want power always try to negotiate, weasel their way into mm-hmm. power.
Yeah.
And they want to keep power by controlling what people can hear. And so much of what we're being told now is bullshit. Excuse my French, but that's just what it is. And it is not something that is new. I mean, it goes all, Turley talks about even, the Greek city-states and Socrates. Why Socrates took hemlock was because he was trying to defend free speech against those in power at the city-state.
And what is Turley's book again?
Just a second here. I have to get my phone to come back up again. It is The Indispensable Right, Free Speech in the Age of Rage. And what he says is those in power try to get people wound up in some issue that can be a rage, like the thing with the Palestinians, they're killing,
Yeah, and then you have people in a rage that are beating up on an 8-year-old in a Shake Shack in Portland, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly the point of this. And he talks about free speech. Oliver Wendell Holmes was a very famous Supreme Court justice. And there was a case whereby he actually ruled that you can't say fire in a crowded theater. And that was you have to read the book to understand that. But that was overturned. That is not the case. The issue for bad speech is more speech, not less speech.
Agreed. I appreciate the suggestion there, Steve. I appreciate it greatly, all right? 11 before 9, and if you're on hold, I'll get right to you. It's open phone time here for the last few minutes here, 770-5633.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740-3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/2/24.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS for a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And some open phone time still here. 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. I got another email of the day to Todd. Todd writes me, and emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. While you wait, crowns can be available in many cases. They have an in-house lab, great machinery. I watched it work. Very cool. And you can just get on CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com and get your appointment today. Good people, okay? And Todd writes me, Bill, concerning your conversation regarding the hostile actions by the Medford City Council to people visiting there, I'm reminded of the very informative call from Cliff from Voodoo Martini, who was a wealth of information. Cliff said that the downtown businesses used to gather stats on visitation. They used to have approximately 3,500 people visiting on a Saturday night. Now, that's down to 300. It's already a ghost town, and I've talked to business owners who have relocated to Central Point because of all this madness. Medford's building department restrictions and the open drug den situation has driven a stake into the heart of Medford. Don't they see what's happening just outside of City Hall? Todd, I don't know if they do, but I just do know that the issues, the agendas that they are going to talk about, like the open streets survey that they have, Medford's open streets survey, is all this predetermined outcome bullshit and how we're going to make it yet even more difficult to go through downtown. And I don't even know if it is the open hostility of the Medford City Council or just the fact that the Medford City Council has not defended the constituents from the intrusions of the bicycle mafia, if you want to call that spandex mafia, and the various other climate change agendas in downtown. And they don't seem to connect having approved a 50-year transportation, the 50-year transportation plan, and just going along with the Metropolitan Planning Organizations there, the various other groups that are all involved with progressive planning. No cars. And if the cars do come downtown, they're going to be slow. If they do come downtown, we're going to pop you at the 20-mile-per-hour zones. And when it comes right down to it, our duty, I think, is to comment to the Medford City Council to have them repeal past council's approval of the transportation plan and to get rid of this nonsense. And I'm going to write a comment to the Medford City Council today and beg them to reopen this because, yes, downtown Medford is death by a thousand cuts. And the Medford City Council, I'm sure, under the guise of either grant stream funding or go along to get along or maybe just not able to connect dots, is just refusing to do anything about this constructively, which means destroy the transportation plan and start again and get true public input. Not what the planners want, not what Governor Brown or Governor Kotek or any other governor wants. What do we want? There are streets. Let me go back to the phones here. Hi, line one, you're on. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, it's Matt.
Matt.
Hey, I've got a comment on RFK and then a movie recommendation. So the comment on RFK, I don't believe anything that the Shanahan said.
You don't?
I think there are already news stories out there that said that apparently RFK had contacted the Harris campaign about a position on their cabinet.
Well, what if he did?
What's that?
So what if he did?
Well, no, I'm saying he denied it. He said, no, we didn't do that. He disagrees with one thing on the left, one,
yeah.
And that's the vaccinations. I think she slipped this out there just to say, if you guys don't bend us, then we're going to join Trump. I think that's all it had to do with.
You think that's what that is? Yeah, it could be.
Yep. A very Trumpian move, by the way.
But by the way, what would happen? What's the worst thing that would happen if all of a sudden they say, hey, we quit, and we do endorse Trump, even if they didn't get a cabinet position for RFK Jr.?
If they did endorse Trump?
Yeah.
You know, they might pick up 1% of that vote. Look, it could make a difference. I think it would make a difference more in blue states than red states. Although I
agree.
Have to say, I was at a hardware store and I saw a dude wearing a RFK 2024 hat here locally. So, you know, but my movie recommendation is Expelled. No Intelligence Allowed. You may have already watched it. It's
no.
Ben Stein.
I've not heard of this one. Ben Stein, Expelled. Go ahead.
Yep, Ben Stein, you know, Bueller, that Ben Stein.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. And it is, in my mind, it's the best movie I've ever seen that ties in Darwinism to atheism and eugenics. It's fantastic. It's not like watching a Tom Cruise movie, but it's very well done. And so for anybody who is interested about how that stuff comes to being and seeing how Darwinism actually turns people into atheists and then the support of eugenics, and the only teeth I'm going to give you is, apparently, this is one of the things Margaret Sanger and with Hitler, they both believed the society was coddling the people who, based on Darwinism, would otherwise have been eliminated from the planet because of their mental deficiencies or their physical deficiencies. And so Hitler had it in his mind that, well, since we've been taking care of these people, now they're walking around, we need to get rid of them. And that, so, but I would watch the movie. Ben Stein is a very thoughtful man, and I think people would really, really get a lot out of that.
Now, where'd you see it?
Well, a good friend of mine, I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday, and he recommended it. And I'm like, okay, so I was sitting around. I'm sure as heck not watching that.
No, just where do you get it, though? Where do you get it?
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Full movies on YouTube, free. Full movies on YouTube.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Now I'll do that because I like Ben Stein. I really do. Always find him thoughtful.
Yep.
Good stuff. Thank you for that, Matt. 858, let me go to line three. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Tom.
Tom, what are you thinking?
Okay. Rather than accepting and using the gaslighting term gender-affirming care, I am challenging your listeners to use the term gender-denying care because that is the more truthful term.
Yeah, assuming that the culture still values truth, Tom, and I hope it still does. All right?
Well, you got to try, right?
Yep, a fella can dream, right? Yeah. let's value truth again. I'm good with that. Appreciate the call. 858.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware, their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come
come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
Submitted after 9 at KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. And I want to touch on another quick email here before Barkley Van Camp and Robbins and or 99.3 The Jukebox ends up cranking up for you. George DeSoco writes me, "Good morning, Bill. I took that open street survey, the one I was talking about, in which it's how many of your streets do you want to give over to the, to the anti-vehicle agenda here. And George says, what a joke. I'm avoiding downtown Medford like the plague. I used to go to Porter's, Grape Street Grill, Jefferson Spirits. Porter's gone. Grape Street has bums all around it. Jefferson Spirits is locked in by bum bicycle paths and Twilight Zone parking. It all looks like a class of third graders designed it." This was the survey. "What a mess. This is where our taxes are going. We still have Jacksonville, Ashland, and Central Point. Grants Pass is much better. Lots of traffic lanes, easy access in and out, more restaurants and bars with one-third the population of Medford." You know, George, I don't think that you can look at this and say, hey, well, there are other places which are still friendly to people wanting to travel the way they wish to, because the same agenda that has been enabled in the city of Medford, which I am going to beg the city council to reopen and reject, you know, repeal the approval of their 2050 transportation or the Vision 2050 transportation plan or the 50-year transportation plan. That needs to happen. But, believe me, the same agenda is coming into all these other places, too. But Medford, of course, is going first. And I imagine Grants Pass second there, too. You're right about the evaluations of these other cities. They're still particularly more friendly. But that's... that's false security, okay? Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. Get in touch with your city councilors and tell them we have to knock off this attack on people going downtown.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5.